So, for those that may not know me, I'm Shane Jones. I'm an elder here, one of the elders at Grace Church, and it's my privilege to be in the pulpit today. And it is a privilege. So, open your Bibles up to 1 John this morning. Near the back of the Bible, there's a series of short books in the Bible right after Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then Revelation. We'll be in 1 John chapter 1. If you need to borrow a Bible on the welcome table at the back of the room, there are several Bibles. Please help yourself. So, I'd like to read the primary text that I'll be using today and then open up in prayer. So if you'll follow along with me, 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we would deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please join me in prayer. Like Pastor Mark, I know that nothing good comes out of my mouth that is of my own volition. Anything that is perceived as good is from you, O God. This is not about me putting on a good performance or entertaining the crowd on a Sunday morning. This is about us hearing your word and exploring what you would have us learn from it and how to apply it to our lives in a very real way. We are assembled here today under the banner of Christ. We have chosen to gather with others who share our faith, who share our belief in the saving power of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you use me this morning to speak your word and to effectively convey the message that you would have us hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this passage in 1 John helps us to see what the life of a follower of Jesus looks like. It is written by the Apostle John. It's the same apostle, or the same John, I should say, that wrote the Gospel of John at the beginning of the New Testament. As an apostle, he spent time personally with Jesus during his earthly ministry and later in his life had become the leader of the Church of Ephesus. 1 John doesn't tell us the identity of who exactly it was written to, but based on the context of the content, we know that they were Christians, and it appears that John knew them well. So looking at verse 5, John starts off, "This is the message we have heard from him, Jesus, and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." This is the declarative statement. It's claiming or asserting something. Declarative statements are the opposite of questions. So verse 5 is essentially saying, if God is light and there is no darkness in him at all, then those who believe in him should also live in the light, not in the darkness. So understanding light here is the primary key to interpreting this text. Is light. So I'm not a big Greek scholar here, but I'll dabble in it a little bit here. The Greek for is estin, I believe, which comes from the same root word Amy, which is the word that Jesus used when he made his I am statements. So John is saying that God is light, not that God emits light, as if it were a separate entity from him, but that is light expresses who God is. And in this context, this light in this verse refers to actual light and not specific holiness. So the reason John uses the Greek word phos for light is because this word conveys the idea of illumination. So just like the light of the sun is clearly seen openly and publicly, so also God reveals himself openly and publicly. Therefore, if God reveals himself expressly this way, so also his believers should openly and publicly reveal him. The way in which we do that is described by John as walking in the light. Now, this does not literally mean walking in holiness, per se, but it does mean walking in such a way as to openly display the nature of God. And the way in which we openly display the nature of God described in the following verses after that are as walking in righteousness and holiness, because God is holy. So verse 6, if you look at that, if we say we have fellowship with him when we walk in darkness, you could put in the word then we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. 8, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So these are all conditional statements. Keep in mind that there are no commands in these verses. John is not directly commanding us how to live. However, we should live. How we should live is implied by the way he is expressing what a follower of Jesus should be like. So looking into verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So walking in darkness, the world walks in darkness. Christians are to walk in the light. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So what he's saying here is that God is light. And I know it isn't very dark in here. Maybe if you want to kill let's go with the left light, knock that one down. Oh, I can't read now. So basically, I'm just going to wing it here. So this, let's just say this is darkness, right? It's off the stage. It's out of the light. This is darkness, and this is light. Darkness is where sin is, right? Wickedness, evil, sin, that's in the darkness. Walking in the light, righteousness, walking with God, doing what God wants us to do to live the lives that God wants us to live. That's walking in the light. So God is light. There's no darkness in him. So God's not over there. God's right here, and he wants us with him. So if you're back here in the darkness again saying, hey, I'm walking with God, but you're in the darkness, you're lying. You know, the truth's not in you. You're not a follower of Christ. If you're back there doing all that stuff that God disapproves of and then telling everybody that you're a follower of Christ, if that's you, the Bible says that you're a liar. And that's pretty tough there. God wants us up here. He wants us to walk in the light with him. But people run to the darkness. In fact, turn to John, the book of John at the beginning of the Gospels. Chapter 3. It's in John 3, in verse 19. Verse 19, John 3, we read, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. All right, so I saw an illustration. You want to kill these light again here, Jay? I saw an illustration. I want to share it kind of with you guys.
Shane steps out of the spotlight. He returns with three items: a cigarette, a six-pack of beer, and a Barbie doll.
All right, so when we're in the darkness, we can kind of do whatever we want to do. And you kind of do your own thing and nobody kind of bothers you, right? But what does light do? All right? Light, I lost my mic. Light exposes what we're doing in the dark. So light comes on and what happens? You're like, oh, what's that doing in my mouth? Oh, maybe I shouldn't be getting drunk, you know? Oh, I shouldn't be touching her, you know? So now, what John's saying in John 3 is that people love the darkness, so when they were exposed by the light, they would grab their sin, and they would run back to the darkness. How'd that happen? So sinful man, we want to run to the darkness, all right? So this illustration, it stuck out in my mind. I wanted to kind of do that up here with you guys as well. So what happens when our deeds are exposed? We realize what we're doing, and it shines on us, and it shows us all the sin in our lives. So true believers will walk in the light, which means true believers openly express their devotion to God through their righteousness, through their holding on to God and trusting in Him, and false believers only say that they do. All right, getting back to verse 6 again, is if we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Verse 7, on the other hand, or the flip side to that, if we actually do walk in the light by living a life that openly displays God's holiness, then two things. We have fellowship with one another, it says in the verse, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So first we have to, the word fellowship here. We have fellowship with one another, giving us unity in Christ. Now, fellowship. Preparing for this, there was so much that I could say about fellowship. I just had to take that whole section out because it didn't go with the overall gist of the sermon, but it's important. So I want to touch on it real quickly, briefly. So nowadays, the word fellowship brings to mind people hanging out, maybe eating donuts, drinking coffee, just kind of mingling together. That's not necessarily a bad thing, and it can lead to what the Bible calls fellowship, but that's not truly biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship has more to do with the strong spiritual bond we share due to the relationship we have as children of God through Jesus Christ. And through this bond, we gain unity as we work toward the common objective of glorifying God through the promotion of the gospel and the building up of other believers. So that's the touch on fellowship. Secondly, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, meaning we have forgiveness. Now, we must understand that John is not saying, after walking in the light, then you earn unity in the body and the forgiveness of sins. Rather, John is saying that if we walk in the light, that this is evidence that we have already gained unity with the body of Christ and already been given forgiveness of sins. He says we have, as in we have already been given, not we will, as in we will receive later. Verse 8, let's look into verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Believers cannot say they have no sin. That is impossible. In order to be saved, one must have at one point recognized their sinfulness, confessed it to God, and asked for forgiveness. If someone says they did that, and then later says that they have no sin, they're liars, according to verse 6. And they themselves are deceived because there is no truth in them. The truth of God's gospel has not penetrated their hearts, which is why they don't understand their position as a sinner. So here's a practical application of that verse. Self-proclaimed Christians, whether truly believers or not, usually at least recognize that they're not a sinner. No, that's not right. Self-proclaimed Christians, whether truly believers or not, usually at least recognize that to say they are not a sinner is ridiculous. Therefore, this usually doesn't show up in the church as someone saying they have no sin. Instead, they live and behave as if they have no sin. They think they're always right, or they think they're always good. Other people are always the problem. It's never their fault. They think they are the only ones with the answer. They are arrogant and lack humility. They are proud and lack grace. They are stubborn and lack unity. They are sinners and lack recognition of the facts. They are too difficult to reason with, and they become a burden to any church. Their divisiveness influences ministries, and it harms kingdom growth. They're hypocrites, proclaiming one thing and living another. They are in the darkness, not displaying the holiness of God as true believers will do. Now on to verse 9. This verse has two applications to it. Number one, if you have already confessed your sin, then you have already received forgiveness from God, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from sin, all due to God's faithfulness to fulfill His promise that those who confess will be saved. Romans 10:9. Second application, if you have not already confessed your sin, Then if you do, God's faithfulness and justice will be revealed in him, forgiving you of your sins and cleansing you from all unrighteousness. You've probably heard it said before that harboring resentment or bitterness towards somebody else is like holding a poison inside yourself. You know, you're hanging on to it, and in the end, it's harming yourself. The same way, harboring unrepentant or unconfessed sin harms you, harms me. It keeps us out of fellowship with God, and it keeps us from true biblical fellowship with our fellow believers, thus keeping us from walking in the light as he is in the light. Confessing sin can be scary, but it is freeing. Now, perhaps some of you here haven't confessed your sin before. Perhaps you're not sure if you'll go to heaven when you die. So I want to take a minute here to speak to you. I'd like everyone here to just close your eyes for a moment. Maybe bow your heads. The Bible, which we believe to be God's very word, tells us that we're all born into sin, that we all fall short of God's glory. God, who is holy and perfect, cannot allow sinners into his presence in heaven. Thus, Romans 6:23 tells us the penalty for our sin is eternal separation from him. But God has also provided a free gift, a way for those he has chosen to gain eternal life with him. The Bible tells us that God showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his only son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. We're told in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're feeling a tug on your heart this morning, don't ignore that. If that's you, I'm going to say a prayer, and I'd encourage you to repeat it, either out loud or if you want, or just in your heart, speaking to God. God, I know that I'm a sinner and that the penalty for that sin is to be separated from you forever. But I now believe that Jesus is your son and that he died for me to pay the penalty for my sin, that I would have eternal life. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll live my life for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer this morning, after church today, I'd encourage you to find an elder, let them know, or just find somebody you think would be excited to hear about that. Let them know. So, using my last precedence, we're in record time here today. So in summary of today's sermon, the key to these verses in 1 John 1 is that John is clarifying what a believer looks like. If Jesus is your Lord, then he is not just Lord of your eternity, he's Lord of your life. And your life should shine forth the righteousness and holiness of Christ. If your life does not display the holiness of God, whether you claim that it does or not, this is evidence of unbelief. God is light because God shines forth his nature openly and clearly. If we claim to be in his light, then we must also shine forth his nature, which is revealed in our new nature in Christ. Though there is no imperative command in the verse, the call is obvious. As God says in 1 Peter 1:16, "You shall be holy as I am holy." Be like the light you are in. Shine forth God's nature in the way that you live. As I get ready to close in prayer, let's all just close our eyes one more time. And let's just take a moment to silently confess to God any areas of darkness or sin in our lives. And let's ask him for forgiveness.
Lord, thank you that Jesus died for every one of those sins we just confessed to you. Shine your all-revealing light into our lives. Expose every one of our sins to us. We cry out, as your servant David cried out in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Forgive us, Lord, and help us to walk in your light, glorifying you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.